Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Eng, live at home.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you both?
I'm all right. I'm doing all right. How are you doing? You've had a fresh haircut.
I've had a little trim up, short back and sides.
Looking very fresh.
Thank you, babe. I had a little growth spell over the new year. So I thought, just trim it up a little bit. Make sure you just feel a little bit fresher.
Like a new man. I always think, and this is, it won't apply to you, but for me, I always feel like when I have my hair cut, I feel like I've lost about 10 pounds. Like, obviously, I haven't. It's always a nice feeling when you're a gay man with a freshly shorn head. It's always, you feel a bit better.
It really does make you feel better. Yeah, it does. And I've got the eating sorted. Which
How's
is
that?
Good. So I've left my parents again. Oh my God, it's just so nice. Last time I was in here, I think I was telling you last week, it was literally, I was like Jack on the Titanic. When I was breathing, there was just like smoke coming out of my mouth, like a dragon. So just nice to have a bit of heat again. So blessed.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I said before as well, I mean, it really is just the small things we require, like heat, affordable heat that works, and, clean drinking water, and we're good to go.
Yeah, well, it works. I don't know if it's affordable at the moment. Yeah.
Yes, that's also true. I definitely know that feeling. What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
What have I been up to? So I've been gym today.
Of course.
Trained a little bit. Loving that. Do you know what we always say as weeks go on that we notice because we record the show the same time every week, we can kind of have we judge the lights changing. I'm really noticing when I'm getting up in the mornings for the gym, the difference in the last week or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I was leaving just a fortnight ago, it was still like the dead of night. Whereas this morning, just that little bit lighter and it's that bit more mild. So I feel like spring's approaching. 1st of February, January's done. Congratulations on dry Jan.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, but I've still got 2.5 months to go, so...
Oh, shit, yeah, you're doing 100 days.
So, dry January, I'm glad it's done, because that means I'm a third out the way. But yeah,
33%, I mean, well done.
Exactly. But I definitely know what you mean about spring. I don't know if you can see, I bought some daffodils from the supermarket.
I love a daff.
They're only a pound. Brighten up my flat.
I might go get some, inject a bit of colour into the greyness of my
I'm definitely feeling that vibe. I think like I said last week, I feel like, well, I've lost 4 pounds, which is not a huge amount, but you know, good start considering I haven't been doing anything. Well, I've been in the gym just doing some classes.
And you look great.
Well, thanks. But actually as of Monday I've started back on the calorie counting. Which is how I've lost weight when I've done it before. Sort of just tracking all my food.
And how do you find that? You obviously got quite a dedicated mind, like you, because you've done the 100 days sober a couple of, is this your second or third time now?
I did one sober lockdown. The second one. And in 2019, I did 94 days. I was broken by a trip to Chicago. A little
That's
press
allowed.
Trip. Yeah,
and when abroad, it doesn't count.
That's how it feels. But I'm determined in my mind to make it to 100 days. I haven't ever done 100 days, so yeah, I've lost. I am. I feel like I can be quite strong-minded when I'm in the right frame of mind. Like, and I feel like a long period without booze, as someone who does drink a fair amount, really puts me in a good sort of frame of mind, and I'm pretty good to. Good to go. So yeah, I've been doing that. I mean, I'm only on day three, so come back to me in about 4 weeks and see if I'm like a shell of a man. Hopefully I will be a shell of a man.
Don't tell yourself that. I would have
lost
32
this.
32 days is amazing.
No, good for no drinking, but the diet thing is always a bit more difficult because it's just, I feel like with food, it's everywhere, right? Drink, you can remove yourself from.
Yeah, because you don't have to drink. You have to eat every day to stay alive.
Yeah, exactly. I guess probably with you building a lot of muscle, you're probably quite used to. Do you track what you eat, or do you like?
Yeah, I track my food. But you're so right, and I think you're completely at the nail on the head there. It's actually, it's the you can have a really strong mind, and I have with so many things, but it's, you've got to be in the right headspace for saying, however strong minded you are or how much willpower you've got, if the mind ain't quite in it, it's not there. But I think there's a lot of pressure in January. Everyone does the New Year's resolutions, which is inevitable because it's just such a tradition now.
Yeah, it's just,
but I think sometimes everyone can be that bit hard on themselves. And actually, do you know what? I think it doesn't have to be a January thing, and just doing what you can and what feels right for you. And like for instance, people that have done dry Jan on top of it, sometimes you can't, that you can't like pull too many things. So people doing dry Jan, then worrying about food, and like, you've got to be a bit kinder to yourself.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like in January I haven't sort of held back. It was quite funny on Sunday. I met up with some friends for a roast, and but I'd been out in the morning shopping actually in town and in Soho and sort of Oxford Street and that. And I was like, well, I'm going on the calorie count tomorrow, so I'm going to have that Greg's vegan sausage roll, and then I'm going to have a brownie from Ben's Cookies.
Ben's Cookies.
Yeah, so it was like, I feel like I went out with a bit of a bang. I had a massive roast. And then I thought, I did wake up on the Monday and I was like, right, well, I'm on it now. And the good thing is, I don't know what you use, but I use my Fitness Pal, which is free. And once you, I tend to eat mostly the same stuff most of the time anyway. My dinners might change a little bit. But once you've got into the pattern of it, it's all kind of already on the app. So all you need to do then is just add it, and you know, instantly tracks your steps. So you know, you get, if you've been walking a lot like I do, you get a couple more hundred calories a day. Which for me is going on a two-finger Kit Kat. That's exciting, isn't it? That's like my one treat. That's my one daily treat. Not a four-finger, just a two-finger.
Fingers are better than no fingers, Stephen. You know that.
As the saying goes, Bob, two fingers are better than none. And I'm just trying to sort of keep at it. The weekends, I feel like I do give myself a little bit of leeway on a weekend, or I have done when I've done this before, but I try and still keep it within reason.
I think it's important to kind of have that, and whether it's the weekend for some people or depending on what people's routines are and work and stuff like that, obviously you have to have that day or two where you can, for it to be achievable long term, because otherwise you could smash something out for 2 weeks, but 3 weeks, but once, if there's no leeway with anything
and no joy,
it's inevitable that you've gone okay. Whereas I think sometimes actually it's not even what you're eating, sometimes it is as simple as portion control.
Portion control is like, I think when you start calorie cap, this is probably quite boring for anyone that isn't, but I mean, like, it is true. I think, like, so I used to live, my best friend, he's Filipino, and he used to eat a lot of rice. When I left my house share with him, I bought a rice cooker because I started to eat more like he did. It just kind of happened naturally. And now, actually, I probably use my rice cooker once a week and have a big, basically, bowl of a big thing of cooked rice in my fridge. Now I know how much a portion of rice is. It's a bit like a portion of pasta. Like, I could up it slightly if I wanted to, like, or cut it somewhere else. But, like, you know, you have to sort of make it all even out. It's not a lot.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised. It isn't.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, or certainly the majority of people, would be guilty of not knowing what portions are. Because sometimes you don't, or a serving size.
How would you know?
You just wouldn't. I think it's not until you are really looking, like it could be a bag of crisps or a famous one in a long tube, and you look at what they say as what it would be, and sometimes it's like four.
And that's your daily intake.
But mate, I've peeled a lid of something, I've got no shame in saying I can sit here and do a whole pot of the cylinder crisps.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
I cannot stop, especially them cream and chive ones and the salt and vinegar, anything salt and vinegar. But what you're saying about rice, that's a really good thing. And also the same with pasta. Once it's pre-cooked, I don't know the science behind it, I'm not a nutritionist, but carbs like that, certainly pasta, and I think rice is the same, when you then are reheating it, it's a reduced carb. So actually, the if you cook pasta and eat it straight away, whatever that carb level is, if you've done a batch of it and you keep it in your fridge for a few days, when you're then reheating your portions as and when, whether it's your lunch and you're taking it to work or your dinner, it knocks something out of it, and actually it becomes an even better carb once it's reheating at a lower level. Watch out, Gillian McKeith.
Yeah, bloody hell. Dr. Bob.
I won't move around your shit, but I know a couple of bits and bobs.
So yeah, but it's nice. It's a nice feeling. It's nice to feel in control and like I'm doing something for myself. So all pretty good. Well, I mean,
and
I can actually.
So right, it does make you feel in control, and that's what I love about it. Actually, once you're in the swing of it, of course, anything when you're making changes, always. I remember people that are giving up smoking, giving up drinking. I remember like when I gave up smoking the day we went into lockdown, and I was quite a heavy smoker and I started at school. Don't start, kids, if you're listening. Honestly, it was the worst thing I ever did, and the irony is I hated it at the time, but it was something that you thought was cool, and then soon it becomes a habit, and then it becomes an addiction. Thankfully, I don't think you really see as many kids smoking now and stood outside the news agents with £2 going, can you get me 10 B&H?
No, you don't. That's true.
You can't get bags anyway. They certainly wouldn't be £2. And I think kids can't afford them. And also knowledge and education. Kids now know how bad smoking is for people.
Yeah.
I mean, vaping's a whole different story, isn't it? But anything once you get into a routine of it, it's going to be hard at first, but I like the mindset of when you're dedicated to something.
Yeah, it's just nice to feel like you're doing something for yourself, kind of. It really doesn't matter what anyone else thinks when you're in the right mindset and you just kind of get on with it. Yes, it's nice. So I'm feeling good at the moment, all positive, which is rare. I'm gonna ride that wave. Well, we have an exciting show coming up today. First up, we have Robin Windsor, former Strictly professional dancer, and now on going on. Well, he's actually on tour at the moment. Then we've got actor Matt Lipinskis, and then at the end of the show, we've got Brittany Carter and Stephanie Affleck from The Apprentice. So I want to have a little bit of showbiz chat because the biggest television event in the world has officially arrived in Liverpool.
Whenever I hear about it now, because we've known each other years anyway, and obviously we've been working together about 2.5 years, I think almost 3 years doing this show together.
Yeah.
But because I know how much you live, breathe and love Eurovision, whenever I see you, I smile to myself and I can't wait to do the next week's show. I'm like, Stephen is going to educate me.
Well, you
take the mic, babe.
I feel like in these instances, you can just sit back and nod, and I could probably talk for 20 minutes without taking a breath. So the official handover ceremony happened, which usually, truth be told, is not a televised event, but they put it on TV. Rylan and AJ Adudu, who I think are really good friends anyway, presented it, and it was just really well done. So the last year's City Turin in Italy handed it over to Liverpool, and then they did some technical bits and bobs. But it just feels like Eurovision is really sort of beginning now, and Liverpool is gearing up. I actually saw on BBC Breakfast this morning one of the hosts of a new Eurovision podcast, like BBC One, was saying that the party's already started in Liverpool. Like, this is it now until May. Like, Liverpool doesn't do anything by halves, so they're already got Eurovision nights and Eurovision pub quizzes and all this, like, going on. It's nice. It just feels like my favourite time of year has come around, really.
So how does Eurovision work, babe? Do you buy tickets for it or do you apply?
You can buy tickets, but actually, so I've got a accommodation in Liverpool because I have a friend who's got a free house, which is great. But actually, I'm probably not going to go to the actual final, just because it's very, very hard to get tickets. And also, I'm going with six other people. So the idea of getting seven tickets is probably going to be quite difficult. But actually, I did go to the arena when it was held in Austria in 2015. And I actually do prefer watching it at home, which is kind of a funny thing. Kind of done it, but we might go to the dress rehearsals are open to get tickets for and stuff, so we might go see some of like the pre stuff, which would be really fun. And Liverpool itself will just be a big party city for sort of the week ahead of the actual main event. So, yeah. So
imagine what it's going to be like.
I think Liverpool is like the perfect host city.
Yeah. I love Liverpool.
Yeah, I've never had a bad night in Liverpool. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, I have to be honest. Well, I could talk about this all night, but our first guest is in the waiting room ready to come in. So Robin Windsor, let's get him in.
Let's do it.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how you doing, Robin?
How are you, Robin?
I'm very good. Hold on, let me close the door.
So it looks like you're in a backstage dressing room or something, is that right?
I am. Look, I've got my sparkly shirts ready for tonight's show.
Whee!
I love that shirt.
Fabulous, isn't it?
Amazing. How's it all going, Rob?
Amazing, yeah. We opened the show last Thursday. It's been uber successful so far, so we're really happy. We're in Blackpool tonight.
And ballroom dancing.
Exactly. We've got another 60 dates to go. We finish up in Monte Carlo, which is amazing.
For real?
Busy boy.
Yeah, it keeps me out of trouble.
Maybe. So the show is called Come What May. What can people expect from it?
Come What May, it's a spectacular, ultimate tribute to Moulin Rouge, hence the name of the show. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the movie Moulin Rouge, and we've taken all aspects of that, and we've turned it into a concert-style show. And just for good luck, we've thrown in other stuff there, like The Greatest Showman, Star is Born, Rocket Man, Burlesque. So there is something in there for everyone, and I am canning my way across the country, which is something I never thought I would say.
Wouldn't expect anything less, Robin. So you've mentioned that some amazing musicals there. Do you have a favourite, like a personal favourite?
Do you know what? Moulin Rouge probably is it. I was at the opening night on Broadway of Moulin Rouge, and I've seen it a couple of times in the West End. It would be my dream to be in it, but I can't sing, so this is as close as I am going to get. I can imagine at almost 44 years old, I'll be can-canning my way everywhere.
Yeah, so can-can then is featuring in it. What else are you doing? I'm guessing there's lots of different styles.
Oh, lots of stuff. There's commercial, there's burlesque, there's ballroom, there's Latin, there's salsa, there's some Argentine tango. You name it, it's in there. Everything is thrown in there, like the kit, apart from the kitchen sink.
That's what people want, though, isn't it? I mean, that's you got to get what they want.
Do you know what? It's just a really good night out. And do you know what? There's a lot of awful things going on in the world right now. Sometimes you just need a night out to switch off and have a sing-along, a boogie, little glass of vino maybe, and have a brilliant night out. And really, that is just what this show is. It's just a good, fun night out. You don't need to concentrate too much. Just have a good time.
It sounds right up my street. Is it lovely? Obviously, after the last crazy 2 or 3 years you've had, are you loving being able to perform and tour again? Because it was one of the worst affected, wasn't it? Theatres and shows didn't come back. It was one of the last to come back.
Yeah, well, I actually retired from performing in 2018 and went to live in the Caribbean. And I had enough of it and came back a month before lockdown.
So excellent timing.
So I spent lockdown in London. And then towards the end of lockdown, I got a phone call from a guy asking me if I'd join a show called Here Come the Boys with some of the other Strictly lot. And I was like, do you know what? I'd love to, but I don't want to tour anymore. And he said, I know you retired, but it is on the West End. And I was like, where do I sign? So I was easily tempted back. But sadly, that 4-month run at the Garrick Theatre got pulled because of COVID lingering a bit longer than we hoped. But we got 2 weeks at the London Palladium. And on the opening night, the producer of Come What May was there. And he came up to me, went, I want you in my show. He said, I've seen you dance for years and you having this break and coming back, you have come back 10 times better than you were before. Like sometimes you just need to have a little break or walk away from something, realize how much you miss it and come back even better than ever.
Love that. And a nice trip to the Caribbean will do that for anyone.
Yeah, it wasn't too shabby.
I bet you regret getting on that plane a month before, though. It would be nicer to have done lockdown there, I bet.
Oh, it was like a 5-star fitness resort. So everything would have been provided and I would have had a whale of a time. But I still had an all right time in London in a basement flat with no sunlight. Yeah.
And everything happens for a reason. Do you know what I mean? Opportunities come. So actually coming back, it was meant to be.
Yeah, and after the horrible couple of years, so the theatre industry just got absolutely annihilated by it all. It's slowly picking itself up, or it's almost back to normal. People are flocking back to the theatre. It's safe to go back to the theatre, and people are out there having a great night. And I think after everything that's happened, people are dying still to have a great night out. So get yourselves down to theatre. It doesn't have to be this show, although this show's the best. It doesn't have to be this show, but get yourselves out to the theatre, because everybody needs a bit of love, light, and jazz hands in their life, really.
Amen.
That's a good slogan. Yeah, I think we should run with that for this show, actually. You mentioned, like, you wanted to give up touring. Well, you did give up touring, but then now you're doing 60 days. Like, that's quite a turnaround. What, apart from just being offered it, what made you kind of want to get back into it? Was there something, did you feel driven?
I'd always said, if I didn't get that adrenaline rush and that nerves before a show, it was time for me to stop, because that's what drove me to do it.
Mm.
That's why I stopped. And during lockdown, I started to teach again online, on Zoom, did primary schools, I did retirement homes, things like that, just to keep me busy. And I was starting to get this little buzz, and I hadn't really planned on going back on stage, but it was that phone call from the guy asking me to do the show on the West End. I was like, do you know what? I've still got it in me. I didn't realize I still had it in me. And the moment I walked back on stage on the London Palladium, I realized what I'd been missing. And then we found out that we were dancing on top of Bruce Forsyth's ashes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that was so special for all of us to realize that his ashes were buried in the stage underneath us.
I love that. Kind of come full circle. And obviously, a lot of people know you from Strictly. And a few people came out last year and were saying, oh, Strictly can't pull in the A-listers anymore. And as it run its day now, because it's gone on for so many years, would you agree with that they can't pull in A-listers anymore?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't necessarily know as many of the celebrities every year now, because they are sort of marketing towards a younger market with the CBeebies and things like that. But all the kids, they absolutely love these people. And Strictly is a very special it has a very special formula. I don't think it necessarily needs these big A-list names that they used to have, because it is such a perfect antidote for the winter period. Everybody still sits down and watch it. It's going from strength to strength, and I still watch it. I still love it every single year. I miss it. I love being on the show. It's given me some amazing opportunities, but I think it's still going from strength to strength. It's not showing any signs of slowing down yet.
I think you're so right. And actually, I think it just gets stronger every year. And it just, they're always ahead of the game. Do you know what I mean? Especially the last few years, we've seen the BBC just really just do some amazing things on that show. Like, I think it's incredible what I've done, considering how long it has been on. And actually, with a lot of these big reality shiny floor shows, yeah, you can get the what people call A-listers, and they obviously get amazing fees for it, but it don't guarantee that they're going to be there to the finale. And actually, sometimes they're the first to go. So you meet the season, you're on TV, they paid these big bucks to get these people, and sometimes they can be out week one, two, or three.
I remember, I said today was on Dancing on Ice, they had Pamela Anderson.
Who
they paid a fortune for, and she went out on the first week. I was like, well, that was money well spent, wasn't it?
I really remember that.
Boarding Pass Inc. was still wet off, and ITV had just got her off the plane, and I'm sure she was happy, though. Do you know what I mean? Straight back to me, Fro, thank you very much.
Yeah, got the paycheck.
Barclays on the way, lovely.
It's actually quite, I guess when you were on it, was it 2010 you started?
10, 11, 12, and 13.
So you were kind of that real peak time when it was like X Factor versus Strictly, right? Like that was like the big, now which was still on telly now. No one's talking about X Factor, right? Like that lived them all.
It was very, very competitive between the two shows. And then I ended up, my boyfriend at the time was Marcus Collins, who was running up on the X Factor. So you can imagine what it was like at home fighting over the TV remote.
What do you think of Bruno jumping ship and becoming a judge now on Britain's Got Talent?
Very unexpected. I was not expecting him to be the person that took David Walliams' place. He's great. I haven't seen any of it yet. I don't even know if it started yet. But so
recording.
I imagine that he's going to be great and very entertaining on the end there. But I'll bet you it will take about 5 minutes till he falls off his chair.
100%, 100%. He's probably already done it. Amanda's already been like, can you just sit the fuck up, please? This is too much. Yeah. What do you make of Anton as a judge, speaking of, about Bruno?
I couldn't think of a more perfect person to be sat on that judging panel. He'd been with the show since the very beginning. He reminds me of Len Goodman in so many ways, and who we miss dearly. That sounds like he's passed or anything, but yeah,
he's in America. He's in America.
He's been absolutely fantastic. You know what? He's been there as the pro. He knows what it's like. He knows how hard we all work. And I think he's been the perfect addition to the judging panel.
Yeah, I agree. As someone who's lived and breathed Strictly as much as you have, and obviously you've still got a lot of love for it, like I say, it's opened up so many doors, you've had amazing opportunities, and it sounds like you still sit and watch and love the show. Is there anyone that we haven't seen yet? What celebs would be your dream celebs to see take part, say, this year?
Well, everyone always asks me this, and it sounds like all a little does. Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley. But they would be absolutely fabulous.
Oh, well done. You said that one before, haven't you?
I know. But I actually met Joanna Lumley, and I said, would you do Strictly? And she said, absolutely not. She was like, I would be terrible, and I wouldn't want to go on television and embarrass myself. She said, I'd do something if I was going to be good at it. But she was like, I just couldn't do it. And I was tried my best.
That's interesting, because some people might be worried that they'd go out first and would, do you know what I mean, if they weren't very good and they've got a big reputation and it might be a risk for them.
Yeah, I mean, and I've asked a few celebrities that I've met along the way. I asked them, would you do Strictly? The Gabby Roslin was one of them. I think she'd be fab.
Yeah,
she cannot dance. And I've tried to convince her to do it so many times, but she cannot dance.
And do you think anyone can be converted? Because you know a lot of people go, like, I can't sing and I can't dance. And we do see some people, and I hate this word in reality TV, the famous journey, air quotes. I'm going on a journey. But we do kind of like to watch them people. I think sometimes week one, when someone's amazing, that's great for them. But the progression isn't really there. But I think we do like to see a bit of an underdog and kind of see them excel and get better week in, week out. But would you say, as a professional dancer and someone who's had 3 celeb partners, 4 celebs doing the show, that can anyone be taught, or do some people really have 2 left feet?
Everybody can be taught how to dance. Rhythm is hard to teach, but anybody can teach the steps. It's just left, right, left, right, left, right in a pattern. If you've got a great teacher, you can teach anybody to dance. But for me, like, I've always said that the winner of Strictly every year should be the person who's improved the most rather than the best dancer. And I think that keeps it more fair rather than having, when you have people from stage school and stuff that are coming to the show, they're great already. But if they improve tenfold, then fair, make them win. But if they sort of stay the plateau and stay the same standard all the way through, I think somebody who's actually got better should win the show.
I have to say, one of my proudest moments was a friend of mine works on Strictly, and we went to Motsi's dressing room afterwards to have a bit of a party, and she was doing a TikTok dance, and I got involved, and she was like, you got rhythm, darling. And I was like, yes, thank you. I feel like I'm one step away now. I just need to find some producer that will let me go on.
Bobby, we've seen James Jordan go from being on Strictly as a professional to then go on to Dancing on Ice. Obviously, it'd be a huge advantage, even though people might not necessarily be able to skate, but like you say, rhythm's going to help slightly, isn't it? And I guess like when people have been pop stars and that. If the call come in from ITV and said, Robin, get your sequins back on, have a fake bake and get on the ice, what would you say?
I'd have to really think about it. I've tried to ice skate before. I have no coordination. And everybody would expect me to be really good. I can't roller skate. I can't skateboard. I can't ice skate. And I've been ice skating before. I was in Canada somewhere, and I spent most of the time on my ass with a wet bum while little 4-year-old kids are going past on one leg. And I'm like, do you know what? This is not for me. So I don't think I'd be any good at it. And I think I'd almost embarrass myself because people would expect me to be rude.
That's really surprising. Is that like a balance thing or something? I would have assumed that most people that could dance. I don't know.
Yeah, I would thought the same thing, but I cannot put on a pair of rollerblades or roller skates. I can't get like more than 6 foot. I just go everywhere. That's probably why I don't drive either, because I find it very difficult to multitask and use one hand to do a gear and one to do the thing. Oh, no, it's all too much for me. I'll stick with the boring dancing for the moment.
Well, you're very good at it, and clearly lots of people want to come see you. So pretty good all in all. Well, Robin, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And best luck with the rest of the tour. Sanjay, you've got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah, good old 60-odd shows to learn. If anybody wants to have a look at the tickets, we've got www.comewhatmayshow.com.
Got it. Awesome. Thank you amazing. So much. Have a good evening.
Thanks for joining us, Robin. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
I felt like I was in, like, surrounded by U2 muscle boys in that situation. Like a little dweeb in my grey jumper. I feel like the IT expert or something, like, sitting in the background.
Oh, bless. Don't be silly.
Out of the gym. Right, our next guest, Matt Lipinski's in the waiting room, so let's get him in.
Let's do this. Hello, Matt. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, babe. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Literally just walked in the door, just threw some clothes on. Got my dog in the background taking over my bed.
Hold on a sec. Were you outdoors with no clothes on?
That's usually what I do, yeah. But no, I was working today and I've just got here and now I can't put... Oh, okay. So yeah, literally right here. Where's my dog? He's on my bed.
That was your dog?
Oh, look.
Oh, what a little Frenchie, is it?
No, he's a big Staffordshire. Len.
Oh, yeah. Len. Hello, Len. I'll be there.
I can hear you.
Confused him, yeah.
He's a who's
that? So what you been up to? Been a busy boy.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, last year was like a fantastic year for me last year. Like, I got back on telly doing Hollyoaks, and then got a play in the West End, shot a film. So last year was just fantastic. What a great year after all the COVID and everything like that, and just getting back out there and doing stuff again. It's really picked up. But yeah, it's been amazing, man.
Did you enjoy getting back into Hollyoaks? You did, didn't you? You kind of, you did the Mallorca specials.
Yeah, so it was, so I was auditioning for them for a while, and I got down to the last two for two of their new families, but didn't get the role. So obviously as an actor, you know, you get no's and you get sort of down, but it's how you take it and it's how you sort of bounce back. And I was always very grateful to them, always sent them emails, because it's all about, you know, connections and networking. So I was always messaging them saying, you know, thank you so much for seeing me, you know, if there's any chance, you know, in the future. So they offered me a guest role. They said, we really love you. We'd like you to come down and do the specials. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. So I think, you know, like, some time in Liverpool, that'd be quite nice. And they were like, no, it's being filmed in Mallorca. We're going to fly out to Mallorca for 10 days, 5-star hotel, all inclusive. I was like, yep, sign me up. Let's go.
I love that. If they come back and gave you a call or an email and said, we'd like to bring that character full time to Liverpool, would it be something you'd be interested in doing it like full on?
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me was like, what was working with the people, and it wasn't just, I mean, the actors were fantastic that I worked with, and I knew Gary from before as well, so we got on really well, but meeting everybody there. But you know, it's like on a TV show, it was the makeup team, the costume team, the camera guys, everybody was just a big family, and it was really nice. So yeah, I mean, I've spoken to Kieran, who's the who's one of the producers there, and we've been chatting a little bit, so you never know, something might happen, something might not. So
I could so see it happening, I'll be honest, Matt. I just think it's made, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
seeing you do that, and I think bringing that character, if anyone's going to do it, you could do it.
Oh, 100%. It was lovely to play like a sort of a villain role, because they said to me, you know, he's going to be a villain. But it started off and he was very much like happy chappy, you know, getting them all sort of on his side and then turning on them. But definitely, there's definitely a opportunity for him to come back and cause some havoc in the village and stuff. So I can definitely see it as well. So yeah, we'll see what this year holds.
Watch this space.
Watch this space.
What was the difference between, obviously, EastEnders for you was quite a while ago now, but what was the difference like filming on two different soaps? Where was it different? I know EastEnders can be a very punishing schedule.
Yeah, I mean, EastEnders was crazy. It was my first audition out of drama school, my first ever audition. I went, I saw Julian Crampsey and up in the BBC and went through like a bit of an auditioning process and then got brought in as part of the Moon family, which back then the Moon family were massive, you know. You had Alfie there, Kat there, and then David Essex playing my dad. It was unreal.
Yeah, I forgot that.
I was 21 at the time, and it was like, you know, it was a whole, like, you know, it was mind-boggling, and I learned a lot there. But I think what was different from filming then to filming now is I've been acting and I've shot, like, you know, quite a few films since then, done a few different, like, sort of series and stuff like that. So I think as an actor, I've grown, and I think I've progressed in my career. So I think filming now was a lot more, I knew what to expect, you know, a lot of the, because a lot of people think, you know, you're on TV, it's amazing. And as well, as I was out in Menorca having a great time, but it's that waiting around schedule. They've got to change the camera locations, they've got to set up, and, you know, you are waiting around for a long time. It just happened to be 35 degrees and I could sunbathe, so it was fantastic. But I guess that was the difference. And as well, EastEnders have got, when you film on their set, they've got about 5 cameras, and, you know, one scene's probably done in about 2 shots. Whereas Hollyoaks, when we were out there, we had the 2 cameras, so we had to take one, reverse the cameras, then do the wide shots, over the shoulder shots, making sure nothing was mirrored, making sure everything was there. So each scene took a little bit longer, but you have that when you film on location as well.
So you mentioned EastEnders. So you was 21, fresh out of drama school. Such a huge soap. I mean, iconic. I mean, especially then, like, the figures it was pulling in then. How did you, an overnight fame, how did you find it? Because 21, that's still relatively young. Do you know what I mean? Did you find it, was it a struggle for you? Obviously it's a dream job, isn't it? But
yeah, it was an interesting one, because obviously you don't really understand how much. And obviously back then, so we're talking like 2011, where I guess Instagram was just taking off and where Twitter was the massive thing. So for sort of press things, like, I remember the first time, like, walking outside when I went to go get some lunch from Elstree set, and I could hear, like, and I was like, what is that? And there was like a guy in the bush, like, taking loads of photos, and I was like, what on earth is he doing? Like, why is he taking photos of me? But then the next day, those were all on the magazines, and it's like, oh, okay. So you kind of learn that, you know, wherever you go, you're always under scrutiny. And I think that's what I found the hardest, was being watched all the time. And, you know, you kind of have to put on, even if you're having a bad day, you have to put on a front to people that you're actually okay. And I guess that can sort of, people that have, you know, mental health issues and stuff like that, I can struggle a lot with them. But, you know, I've got a group of friends around me, and I've had my boys since I was, like, young, and there's a big group of us, and they're still my boys now, and they kept me grounded. And I think, you know, if I didn't have them, I'd struggle quite a lot, but they kept me, you know, sane, and I still play football every weekend, and you know, that's the main thing, having your family and friends around you.
There's nothing like old friends to keep you grounded, is there?
Oh, God, yeah.
they'll tell you the second you're too big for your boots.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it something you would like to return to if the call come in? Like, obviously, Alfie's back now, isn't he? Shane Mitchell.
Yeah, Shane's back. I spoke to Shane actually the other day, and I saw, because I played a charity football match on the weekend just gone, and there were a lot of EastEnders people there. I mean, Danielle, who plays Lola, she was one of the managers. Danny Dyer was there. I'd never worked with Danny, but I know Danny. Max was there. Who else was there? Just like, it was just loads of people. And I guess it's a weird thing. Like, everybody that's been on the soap kind of knows each other, even if you haven't worked with each other. So you see these people, and it was like, I think I said hello to one of them, and I think it was Dan Osborne or one of the boys was like, oh, EastEnders friends. And it was like, it's weird, just people, just, you just know. So, but, you know, it's one of those things. Like, I did 2 years on there. I had a great time on there. Yes, I would love to go back, because, again, like I said, 10 years on, I feel like I'm a much matured actor now. So it would be interesting to go back and maybe do some, you know, grittier storylines and things like that. But, you know, I'm an actor at the end of the day, and you're never going to turn down work. So, you know, anything that comes is a blessing. And as you get older, I've got a mortgage now, I've got bills, I've got dogs to look after, I've got a missus to take on holiday and stuff. So, you know, you've got to take the work that's there.
And talking of the missus, Matt, you've recently said that you've never been more happy in terms of your love life. Can you divulge a little bit more about this? She's obviously making you very happy, this lovely lady of yours.
How long have you been together?
What's the 411? Thank you, Matt.
So, of course, yeah. No, so we met. So I had a bit of a messy breakup before. I was with someone for quite a long time, and that didn't end up well. But, you know, that's in the past now. And she came into my life, and it's the first time I've ever had a partner where we're a team. Where we have things that we do together, we train together, we look forward to seeing each other every day, the spark's still there, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of look at that person and you go, I actually want to spend the rest of my life with you. And that's such a nice thing to have. And when you find that in someone, it's just incredible. And they do things for you, you know. And when I go to work sometimes, and like, you know, my breakfast and my lunch is made, and I'm like, wow, like, where have you been all my life? And yeah, it's an incredible thing. We're going skiing Friday. We head off to France and we're off skiing, and first time I've ever skied. She's amazing at it, so
well, you're in for a treat.
In for a treat. She's going to teach me, so that might test the relationship.
So you say you can see yourself with her for the rest of your life. First time skiing, if you go arse over tit, which is inevitable when you end up on your knees, are you going to be pulling a ring out of your pocket, Matt?
No, not yet. It's a good question. I'll tell you, you had to get it in there, but no, not yet.
You mentioned, we're into a new year now. How has it been treating you so far? And what have you got sort of coming up? Anything exciting you can talk about?
So yeah, I've got a meeting with my agent coming up soon. I've been all self-taping for, you know, quite a few different films that are coming up. January is always a little bit slow, but you know, I'm having auditions, and that's the main thing. The main goal for this year is just to stay healthy, stay trim, keep up my fitness regime, and just keep going. But yeah, at the moment I'm back on the tools with my boys, because that's what I do. Like, you know, I like I said, I've got bills to pay. I finished Panto, so that was great. Made some money from that. That money, boom, straight into savings. And then instead of eating into that, straight back with my mates. So I'm doing plumbing at the moment with one of my boys. And yeah, it's fun. But like I said, that's why I was running around, got back, because we were out pricing another job. So, you know, straight back on the tools and grafting. But it is funny, because we are going to these houses and people are like, I swear I recognise you. And I was like, no, not me.
You talk about keeping trim. I saw some pictures of you as Peter Pan. You're looking very trim to me, mate.
Yeah, I think
your greener tights.
Yeah, the oldest fittest Peter Pan I think I've ever had. It was very fun. And I got to work with Darren Day playing Captain Hook, and oh wow, what a laugh he is. And we had fun. But no, still, I'm really into my training now. I definitely believe over the last couple of years it's really helped me push on in my acting career and being in that shape. And when Hollyoaks came knocking, and I think I said before in my last interview that, you know, it was very easy for them to say, like, you know, Matt, can you maybe, you know, just your shorts in this shot? Yeah, no worries, of course. And it looked great, and I was very happy with it. And
it certainly did.
Hard work and dedication, but it is good.
Well, were you paying particularly close attention? It sounds like you were.
I'm just admiring the fine work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I put it in, so I put it out there. That's the main thing.
Exactly, Matt.
It's quite a different world, though, like you said, with Instagram and stuff now. Like, you know, you are quite body confident and stuff. Is that something you've had to learn, or does it come quite naturally to you?
Oh no! Like growing up, I used to yo-yo in weight all the time. I used to like blow up and then trim down everything. And I think I remember going to one audition once, and my agent called me, a previous agent I had, and they said they would have offered you the job, but they said you were too fat. I was like, ooh, wow. Okay, I need to do something about that. So I did, and then sort of got in shape, and then yo-yoed again, and then I just thought, enough's enough. Now I need to sort of, and it's all these fad diets and stuff like that like they don't work. You need to find a stability in life that you can do, eating healthily, and doing it because you want to do it. And that's what I found is like, I have my little time at the gym. I put my headphones on. I go into my own little zone. I've got a great trainer, a great nutritionist, and yeah, I'm just smashing it. And I love it. And it's personally given me more energy and more confidence. So I feel like when I go into audition rooms, and not only that, like I was like, you know what, I'm going to start modeling now as well. So I've signed to like a couple of modeling agencies. I had my first job the other day and I was like, yes, this is good. I like this.
Good for you, mate. Like you say, you train hard. You absolutely should be doing it. You put in the hard work.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame not to show it, Mac.
Yeah, why not? Get it out. If you've got it, flaunt it. Have fun with it.
Amen.
Well, you can say that, Bobby, in your little tit vest you got on there. I'll stay covered up.
You look great.
Thank you, mate. I've been trying. Like you say, though, I'd never really been one for training until went into lockdown. I mean, who picks a global pandemic? But it was going to go one way or the other for me. I was going to either isolate with the fridge. But bearing in mind, remember Boris said it was going to be 3 weeks and I cleared overnight. And I thought, well, what am I going to do for 3 weeks? Little did we know how long it was going to go on. But there was so I just did it in the garden and over the field. But for more than anything, it's what it does for me, Ed. I put my headphones in and I get in that gym and it's the one
you just sort of like you zone out from everything else that's going on in the world, you know, because you know with news and everything it's always sad, depressing news, or you always hear things. So to go in there and just put your headphones on, put on some good tunes, and it's like, you know, when you go in, you're like, actually, what do I want to listen to today? What's going to get me in the mood? Sometimes I put, you know, proper pumpy gym tunes on. Sometimes I'm listening to like Sian Decor and like different things, and sometimes I slow it down. I'm like, but I still train exactly the same intensity. But it's just that it is that, you know, hour and a half of just bliss, and then you finish your training. And I'm very lucky enough that I've got a, you know, swim pool at my gym and a sauna and a jacuzzi and a hydro pool, so I get to do that as well, which is quite nice.
That's a spa. That's not a gym. Matt, well, thank you so
best
much for
world.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Appreciate you coming in straight from work. And best luck. I hope to see more of you.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much, guys.
Enjoy skiing.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I will. I'll probably put a topless picture of skiing somewhere, so look out for that.
I'm going to be looking on your Instagram, so make sure you do.
Thanks so much, Matt. Cheers.
Bye, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Blessed. Take care.
What a lovely man.
Really lovely man. And you can tell just got a good heart on him, I think.
Yeah, I get good vibes from him. Yeah. Good energy.
Really good. Right, well, we've got our final guests, Brittany Carter and Stephanie Amfleck, ready to come in and speak to them.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Really good, thank you. How are you? Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having us on. You've got a lovely tan going on.
Thank you, babes. Went to Turkey.
I literally feel like a ghost now looking at you.
I am literally
grabbing my fake tan immediately after this interview.
That mitten's coming out and it's going all over. Yeah, I can see it. Good shout. How are you both doing? Nice to see the two of you together. What is it? Are you a double act now?
She's moved into my house. Like we shared rooms together in The Apprentice, put us together. And literally ever since then, she's just never moved out of my room. She's just gone from there to my house and has never left.
I didn't even ask. I just decided not to go home one time and that was that.
The
wardrobe in my spare room is just full of her stuff.
So that's it. You're basically like a couple. You're like a couple now that just like... Oh, we've lost you. We lost you for a second.
My dad calls me the third daughter. She went on the family Christmas holiday with my family. That's how much like we've become into.
This rarely happens on the Apprentice.
On reality TV.
The two candidates.
Standards go.
It doesn't really happen on reality TV, but even more so on like The Apprentice, because you're in competition with each other. Everyone's like, I can't believe how good friends you are. Yeah. But the thing is, like with The Apprentice, people say like, oh, how do you go back to the house and like are okay with each other? Like if you're in business, so many times in business conversations, you will have to have a conversation where you disagree with a business partner, but it doesn't mean that from then on you're disagreeing in life. Like you would have a disagreement and then you would move on sort of thing. And that's kind of what happened in the house.
And I think disagreements in friendship, I think that's a sign of a strong friendship and a relationship. You should be able to have disagreements and both respect each other's opinions and you move forward from it, don't you?
It's so funny you said that, because we were actually having that conversation earlier on in the week, and I was like, you can't just have friends that all agree with you. Like, that's not life. Like, not everyone's going to agree with you in life. Like, you need to be able to have differing opinions and not take it personally.
And I like with us that we're brutally honest, and I know that I'm getting the genuine opinion. So if I could go to her and be like, does this outfit look good? I know that I will get a genuine response. And
I would actually say, if she turns up in an outfit where she literally looks a 0 out of 10, I'll be like, I am not going out with you looking like that, because you're going to cop at me. There's no way that
it's going out. It's the honesty I need in life.
I'm like, you're not going to let our friendship down.
Do you have the same type then when it comes to men?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that is so lucky. I feel like that would be really annoying if we did, but we are completely the opposite. It's weird in so many ways. We are actually completely the opposite, because I'm probably more like confrontational. I wouldn't mind having a disagreement, and Brittany hates that, but it works really well, because whenever she wants to say, like, say we're at a restaurant and the food is disgusting, she'll go, Steph, do you mind saying it? And I'll do it. She's the complainer. I literally won't care. I'll say it for both of us. But then if I'm sometimes in social situations, I get to a point where I can't be bothered to talk. She's way more social than me. So then at those points, I'll be like, oh, Britt, can you be the personality for both of us? Because I cannot be.
So is strong in the two, yeah. Like, we've got all boxes ticked as point.
It works really, really well.
Love that. Yin to the yang.
Exactly. That is actually the best way to describe absolutely. Us, I reckon.
So could this end up with you going into business together or something?
Everyone asks that, and I honestly think if the opportunity arose, it's just because the opportunity hasn't been there. We would definitely, because I would trust her with my life. So I know that if she had to make a business decision on my half, I know she would make the right decision for both of us.
But what's so funny is we're both not officially in business together, but all the business meetings that I have or any decisions that I need to make, I'll go to Steph straight away and vice versa. She came to my first business meeting with me, with my investors. And then ever since, she just comes to every single meeting now.
Literally, her investors are always like, is Steph going to come along? Like, it's just an automatic thing that I would be, even though I've got nothing to do with the company, I just sit there and listen to the meeting, like, just to give my opinion. It was so funny because in her first investment meeting, because her investors as a part of the drinks like community,
yeah.
They have an alcoholic drink, and the first time they were like, oh, try our drink, try our drink. Yeah, but they gave us like loads of alcoholic beverages to try. There was about 12 of them. By the time she had to do the investment meeting, she was so drunk. But I said it was the best meeting she's ever given, because it gave her so much confidence.
It was the best business pitch I ever did. I'd never showed so much enthusiasm. Yeah. I was like,
can you remember any of it?
It's only because she filmed it that I knew it was good. I'm like, when did that happened? We got out of the room and I said to you, this room is spinning, like, I cannot believe we just
the
did
second
that.
We got out, I was like, let's go to the club. We were in the middle of nowhere.
Then fall asleep in the taxi, probably. if you were you both made it to the final of The Apprentice. How do you look back on your experience now? So now a bit of time has passed.
God, do you want to go?
It's crazy, because if I would go into The Apprentice now with what I know, we would have done so well. So I look back now in hindsight and I'm like, I wish I knew what I knew now.
Yeah.
But when you go in and apply, you always say that the benchmark is like, I just want to get to the interviews. Yeah. I just want to get to the interviews. We all did it. So
yeah, to be fair, when I first got there, it was so intimidating, the whole thing, because you don't realize how big the production is. I thought I was literally going to be there a week. I only packed like 3 weeks worth of clothing, and then when it got to like, there was like 6 people left, I'm like, I need to get a whole new wardrobe. I was ordering so much to the house because I literally had run out of clothes.
Each week when I used to call my family and be like, I got through again, even they were shocked by week 6. They were like,
you're having a laugh.
I'm their leg. I was like, no, I'm through again.
Every week I'd call my dad and I'd say I'm through, but he thought I was calling him to tell him I'm coming home. He was like, you're through another week. I can't believe it. I'm like, I'm so glad that my family believe in me.
But when you go there on the very first task and you see everyone outside the boardroom and you meet all the girls for the first time, I was like, oh my God, I'm going home straight away. Yeah. I was like, these people are so good, like so much better than I expected. Yeah. But you've just got to chip away at it week by week and just try to apply yourself to the task.
It's funny though, because now that I look back, like, I'm watching the new series, it looks so nerve-wracking. But I think when you're in it, like, I remember just having so much confidence during the process. But like now rewatching it, or even if I watch previous series and watch their interviews, I get so nervous for them. Like, it looks, and people go to us, how the hell do you get through those interviews with like Linda Plant and Claude? They look savage. And I was like, you're just so in the zone that you, it almost, because you've done 12 weeks of it, it just becomes your normal life. For them to tell you how bad everything is.
It's like being in a bubble. It's so weird, because we'd be in a taxi on the way to get interviewed by Linda Plant, and then I'd look in the car next to me and someone's just driving home from work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can your life be so normal right now? And I'm like, we're in this weird bubble.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Crazy. And you're not allowed to know anything. Like, you're not allowed to watch the news. No. So you don't know what's going on. And when we went, it was peak COVID, and we didn't even know if the UK had come up with COVID.
No. When
and
we were looking
really?
Around, like, wow. Are people still in lockdown or not? Yeah. It was crazy. We weren't allowed to know.
We were like 12 weeks in love with Big Brother. Yeah. So when we came out, I honestly had no idea how to be a person because I'd had everything done for me for 12 weeks. I had to learn how to take myself to like the toilet again because I'd so weird to do stuff on my own.
Our mum is so funny because every week Steph would call to talk about The Apprentice and she'd be like, yeah, but what about the Kardashians?
Yeah, she's trying to film in on all the pop
culture. Oh, she sounds a bit of me.
Yeah. She was like, let me tell you all the gossip that's going on because I know that's what you really want.
I mean, I did a 10-minute phone call and Steph couldn't even talk about this.
No. I wanted to say what I was achieving and she was like, yeah, I really don't care, but you know that Kylie's had her baby. And
I
was just like,
okay. I mean, this is
important
news. I
love your mum.
Oh, everyone loves my mum.
You would get on so well with her.
Definitely would.
I feel like I love her.
She's a typical like South East London mum, like that everyone just loves. So she's funny.
Really loving the energy that you two have. I reckon you should like get your own show or something because you two are like it's such positive vibes. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, it's always like that with us as well. Literally, when we're on a night out, you know, like some people are good drunks and some people are bad drunks. We get even more like this. So, like after a bottle, we're like, we're so excited.
The table next to us does get annoyed because we just get louder and louder and louder and louder.
I'm going
to get
shut up. What have you both got coming up? Anything exciting?
Do you want to go first?
So I have just launched my business. Which was a bit different to the one I went on The Apprentice, but it's called Oomph Energy Drinks. And they are a range of healthy energy drinks. So no sugar, 8 calories, BCAAs, apple cider vinegar, and B vitamins. And it uses natural caffeine. So you get a nice high instead of that spike
and then you drop as well.
So yeah, we just launched. So it's been so exciting.
They taste, honestly, I'm not just saying it, they taste, because I've been through the whole process with her, obviously.
She was like, we went through many trials.
I feel like I've been through the whole process and honestly they taste amazing, like I cannot tell you.
So we're really happy. Yeah, it's taken about 8 months to get to this point, which is like 3 times as long as we expected, but it's worth it because yeah, we're really happy with
in business that happens. Though it's really hard, like when you're on The Apprentice, people think everything's supercharged and you leave the process within 2 weeks our company should be fully fledged and open, but in real life
I love that as well. It's like people think that you come up with a marketing campaign overnight and have to present it the next day. I mean, clearly that doesn't ever happen in real life.
Yeah, it's like that is not legitimate.
But yeah, and then with me, I'm still pursuing my idea that I went on to The Apprentice with, which is a pre-loved clothing website, but for children. So basically Vinted or Depop, but for kids, because it doesn't exist. And I'm kind of securing investment right now for that. Because it takes a lot of money to build an app, by the way, guys.
I can imagine. Paying programmers is not cheap. Yes, I can imagine.
No, it's not. If you ever want to make a lot of money, honestly, go into tech. They are rolling in it. I'm so jealous. I wish I was smart enough.
I always think now, like, why did I go into journalism when I could have, like,
changed the font size on Instagram stories until last week?
Really?
Stories look like they're in 2011 because I've had no idea of the features that you could do. And then last week you had to teach me, and I was like,
she was like, how do you change the font size? You know, when you go up and down on the little thing, I was like,
and now people are moving off Instagram and into TikTok, so you're going to have a whole new thing of stuff you got to do. Well, I'm super pleased with you that it's going so well, and I'm loving this the energy between you both. Yeah. So thank you so much.
I want to say the word Anton Deck of the future, but I'm just going to plant the seed now. Okay,
we're the Anton Deck of The Apprentice.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, girls. Absolute pleasure to have you on.
We always love speaking to you. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. You're so welcome. Really,
I can't wait to try the drink.
I will be sending you some, so check your DMs
because
they're coming.
I will do. Oh, well, thank you. I only saw that your DM from saying that about the celeb karaoke. Thank you so much. That was so sweet of you. Bless you. Thank you, babe. Sorry I didn't reply. It wasn't until I was looking when I knew you was on the show this week and I clicked and I saw your message. So thank you. That was lovely.
Don't worry. Do not worry. No worries. Thank you. I loved it.
Yeah, we're
so thank you, babes.
Love it. Have a good evening, guys.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Bye. Well, they're going to be the female Anton Deck. Why don't we be the gay Anton Deck?
I mean, let's just do it, babes.
Well, on the Eurovision red carpet. Yeah, we already are. Well, that was a lovely show. I feel like very high energy. I feel very pumped after that. It's exciting.
Yeah, lovely show.
Got anything exciting coming up this week? I've got a busy one.
Oh, tell me about yours.
I'm going to theatre. I've got my family visiting. I've got to go to John Lewis straight after we finish recording this podcast. I mean, I've just got bits and bobs all over the place. I'm going to, that'll be after we record the show next week. I'm going to the V&A for an opening. I've just got lots and lots of things going on.
Busy. I've got a dinner at the weekend, but nothing is still relatively coming out of the new year. I mean, I know we're February now. January, I always have a little bit of a quiet one.
Yeah.
Recharge. But yeah, just a little bit of dinner. Nothing too out there yet, but yours is amazing. You can live for both of us, Stephen.
Yeah, sober as well.
John, I love a bit of John Lewis.
Oh yeah, I'm
jealous. I'd like to go shopping now.
Might
be a bit online.
Oh yeah, just as good. Well, until next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.